Last week we looked at the faithfulness of God, and especially how God has been faithful to us regardless of what we have done or haven't done. Now this week we're going to look at how do we respond to God's faithfulness. And so would you please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 again, and we're going to read the first 9 verses together again, just like we did last week. But instead of looking at God's faithfulness in the text, we're going to specifically look at how we are meant to respond to God's faithfulness. It's just amazing that in one short reading that you get so much depth and good teaching out of just 9 verses. So let's read it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 to 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I would like us to keep God's word open today because I'm going to refer back to the text quite often as we deal with it verse by verse. The one thing I want to remind us today is this: God's faithfulness to us will never end. That is the hope that is found in this text, and that's the hope that you and I need to hold on to, especially as we unpack the instructions given to us in God's word today. You and I, if we try and do this on our own, will fail. But the promise of God is found in his word today is that he is faithful and he will keep you blameless to the end. He will remain faithful to you and to your response to his faithfulness to the end. And so take heart in that fact, that even though we are called to respond to God's faithfulness in a certain way, our response isn't dependent on our effort alone. For this, we need to be extremely grateful. And so let's go to verse 2 together as we unpack this text today. Verse 2 reads, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those in every place who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing we need to note in this verse is that Paul declares this, the church of God in Corinth. And this is a statement to deal with some of the things that you'll read on later on in the letter. Paul is trying to deal with the popularity contest between the pastors in Corinth, where some say that they follow Paul, others say they follow Christ, and so forth. And so when God declares that this is the church of God in Corinth, he wants to settle that dispute very, very quickly. He wants to give a clear message to the church in Corinth that when we gather to hear the word of God preached, we gather to hear the word of God preached regardless of who preaches it. And that's a big challenge for the church in Corinth, it seems, but I think it's even a challenge to this day, where at times we might not attend church even because Duncan and I aren't preaching, but somebody else. God is trying to address this in the church of Corinth, and he's trying to challenge that even in us to this day, that when we walk through these doors, God is at the very center of our being. He is the reason why we gather and nothing else. The challenge goes even to as far as who leads worship and the songs we choose. Friends, if we struggle with this, may our prayer in verse 2 become this: Lord Jesus Christ, sanctify me more and more right now. Help me become more and more like you so that when I walk through these doors, church in Corinth, church in Durban North, that we come together to hear from God, and in every moment we try and worship God regardless of the songs or the worship leader. That is our prayer and hope, that we would come together with God at the very center of it all. And when we look at verse 2 a bit further on, it says that we are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Now, normally when you think of sanctification, it's a lifelong process. It happens every day, especially if we submit ourselves to the Lord. But in this text, it is a decisive statement to the church of God, to those sanctified. That is, to those who have been, not those who are being sanctified in Christ Jesus. And I think the main reason for this is that God is trying to teach the church in Corinth that behind and beneath the lifelong process of sanctification, there is a decisive break from the old way of doing things. There's a decisive break from the old way of unbelief and sin and a complete realignment to a new life of faith and obedience. This decisive break, we're going to witness next week at this very service where many people will come and be baptized. It's a wonderful moment, and if you haven't been baptized, please sign up for the baptismal class in the future so that you too can experience the wonder and the awe of that moment where you publicly reveal to other people that you have turned your back on your life of sin and you've now surrendered your life to Christ in faith. Just like those in Corinth, the sanctification that takes place in that moment is decisive. When you come up out of that water, it's symbolically you leave your life of sin behind and you come out and dedicate your life to Christ again. But friends, we've got to step out of the water. As I shared in the first service, if you stay in the water long enough, it's going to become quite gross. It's going to be filthy, and it's not going to be a clacker. Instead of attracting people to the gospel, you are going to deter a lot of people from the gospel. We must step out of the water. We must step towards Christ more and more each day. Where you and I wake up in the morning and decisively choose to be sanctified by God more and more each day. We can only do that if we get out of the water. We can only do that if we choose to walk in the goodness of God from the moment that we wake up until we lay our head on the pillow at night. When we decisively do so, intentionally do so, over time, the next portion of the verse will slowly and slowly become more true in our lives, where it states that we are called to be His holy people. We are called to be set apart. We are called to be radically different from the world. And that being set apart starts from the moment you give your heart to the Lord and continues as you wake up day in and day out and allow God to sanctify you more and more each day. So that over time you will be set apart from the rest of the world. So much so that they might look at you and ask you, but why didn't you return that insult with another insult? And I think your answer would be, it's because I've been sanctified by Christ. Or at least I have surrendered my life to be sanctified by Christ day in and day out. And that is why in this brief moment, I was able to respond with holiness instead of sin. In our modern day context, we often get disillusioned about this, where people are radically different from the norm. I do think, though, that if we are God's holy people, if we are set apart by God and for God, when people see our radical behavior, see how different we are to the norm, they would be drawn to God and not any other modern day attraction. And the amazing part of this text is this. It's not just up to us. God does most, if not all, of the work in us every day. All you and I do is surrender to His will and His way and allow Him to sanctify us through and through. God knows that we simply cannot be holy or remain holy by ourselves. And that's why the next portion of the verse makes it very clear. We are called to be His holy people together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is really, really good news. You and I are not meant to live this life on our own. We are meant to live this life in community with other believers. At times, I do think our walk with God can be so lonely, where we feel alone in our struggle to remain faithful and obedient to His call upon our life. This is why God calls us into fellowship with each other. This is why He calls us to journey together. If we look back at how He created this world with Adam, what did He say to Adam? It's not good for man to be alone. And I do think in most cases, pastors use that text as, you know, a symbol of marriage. But I do think there's more depth than that too. We're not created to walk in faith alone. Look at what happened when Adam and Eve separated themselves and they were walking alone in the garden. They were tempted and they fell. And they were the original human beings created in the presence of God, dwelling with God every day. And yet they fell when they walked out of community. How much more do we need community to this day? We are called to live together. You and I cannot be God's holy people on our own. We need each other. We need community. If COVID hasn't taught us that, then for those who live in Durban, the unrest should. The unrest that took place should have taught us that we need each other. We need each other in a very practical sense to make sure that we're okay. But what about spiritually? What about spiritually? Surely we need each other in order to fight the battle against good and evil in this world. And this text makes it very, very clear. We are called together to be His holy people. And so if you have a small group in your life, you would totally agree. Because you've journeyed through the good times and the bad. And in most cases, your smaller group of communities helped you through some really tough times, but also celebrated some great times with you as well. I think for most of us, if it wasn't for this community of believers that we are a part of, the last 2 years would have been nearly unbearable. Come alongside one another, journeyed with each other through massive storms. And that's the beauty of belonging to the Lord and His people. As we journey with each other together. And only then, when we journey together, would verses 5 and 7 actually be true in our lives, which says that in Him, in Christ, you have been enriched in every way. Just imagine you've got a broken pipe at home, and within our church, we've got a qualified plumber to come sort it out. In a very practical sense, that's when the body works together in community, and it's wonderful. But what about the spiritual gifts that we're given to, the gifts of compassion and kindness, hospitality, the gifts of teaching and service? When the body of Christ works together, it is truly amazing, isn't it? A tradition in this church that we've really enjoyed over the last 4 years or so is whenever a new baby is born, the ladies in the church gather within themselves and sort out meals for that newborn baby's couple for 2 weeks. That's amazing to see the body of Christ working together to cater for one another's needs. Because for those of us who've had children, the first 2 weeks are a bit rough. Even the second time around. But it's amazing when the body of Christ works together. Because then verse 5 makes sense to us. But what about verse 7? Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await the Lord. We gather together as God's people. Some can sing, some can't. Some can operate the computer and the sound desk, some can't. Some are excellent at welcoming people at the door and pouring a cup of coffee. Some shouldn't make coffee at all. But when we all work together, playing to each other's strengths, the body of Christ is truly amazing. And we declare that to the world. Because we're called into fellowship as iron sharpens iron. And I really enjoy the analogy of looking at a fire with a whole lot of coals. And in our South African context, we often look at a fire and we braai. And I enjoy at times just sitting late at night while the fire is just simmering away, looking at the coals and just pondering in general. But the one analogy that I enjoy the most about fires is when you take a coal with a pair of tongs and you move the coal out of the fire to the side. And you see what happens to that coal. It eventually starts smoking and puffing, and eventually it just dies and becomes a pile of ash on the side, while the rest of the fire is still nice and warm. And the beauty is, if there's still anything left of that coal, is you can grab it and bring it back into the fire, and it reignites again. That analogy is the beauty of the church, where as long as we're in community, we're all pretty hot together. We provide light and warmth to this world. But even more so, when the fire grows, so does the light of Christ in our area and beyond. And so that's why it's really important for us as a community to ensure that our community grows. That it's not the same bunch of coals in a pile together. Because eventually the coals run out. Eventually they burn out and then there's nothing left. And that community dies away. And that's why church growth is so important. But even more so, in your small group where you get together as a community, it is so important for that small group to carry on growing in number. So that we can create more small groups in Durban North and beyond and allow other people to experience God's goodness, His care, and His love in community just like we have. And so if you're a small group leader, please get that small group growing. Add another chair into your small group next week and get another person to sit there. Go and invite whoever you can to come and experience the goodness and the love of God like you have. See, friends, when we do gather together in community, and we do it with Christ at the center, sanctified as His holy people. Scripture says that the world will see our love for one another, and they'll know that we are Christians, but they'll be drawn to it. And so therefore, we should do everything in our power to do the same, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, love one another with the same compassion that Christ has displayed to you. When that happens, our fellowship grows with authenticity and truth. I don't know about you, but there's nothing more beautiful than somebody that deeply loves the Lord. You can see it a mile away. You're just drawn to them, aren't you? May that be true for us. As it says in Philippians 2, may we cultivate a spirit of humility that seeks the other person's honor, not your own. Galatians 6:2, lighten each other's burdens by bearing with one another and carrying each other's burdens. Like we've just studied in the book of Acts, what a beautiful example of community getting together, being willing to share even one's resources to make sure that nobody is ever in need. And they do this again in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where they share possessions with one another. But I think in our current day and time, what's beautiful about community is when we get together in our dark moments, in our moments of struggle, where you don't necessarily need to say anything. You just need to be there for one another. A good friend of mine, Reverend Trevor Hudson, was excellent at this. To this day, I can remember him just at my grandfather's funeral. He just stood there. And some people thought it was strange, but it was so amazing. Because he was just that presence of love in the room. And you kind of just wanted to go and stand next to him. And then he just put his arm around my shoulders and said that God loves you, young man. And you will get through this. And we'll get through this together. What's also amazing about small groups is that we can pray for one another and hold each other accountable to the call of God on our lives. Just as we hold each other accountable in every Sunday service. And so friends, as you study through the scriptures this coming week, may you be reminded that God has called us to be sanctified and to grow in that sanctification and that being made holy on a daily basis. And let's grow together and change this world together. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And more importantly, Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us from the beginning of time to this very day. From Adam to the foot of the cross into this very moment. We thank you that you have been faithful and just and you've never let us go. We thank you that you've called us to salvation. And for those who accepted that call, you've sanctified us in that moment and then called us to be sanctified people from that moment until this very day and beyond. Oh Lord, help us every day to become more and more like Jesus, more and more like you, set apart from this world, different, radically different. And may that difference be the light in the darkness that draws people towards you. We ask that you would give us the courage to do so within community as we love one another and help each other grow. Thank you for the promise of your word that you will continue to do the good work in us till the very end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.